Well, some stories are unavoidable ones we have to touch on. Great guest, great topic with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on guns and domestic violence. But I'd be remiss if we didn't bring up that just recently now, Bradley Reckling, who was an Oakland County deputy, was shot and killed what looks to be a bit of an ambush as he followed a stolen vehicle in an unmarked car. No dash cam footage is available. Friend of the show, Mike Burchard, commented, "This is a sad, sad thing. Certainly didn't see it coming." Sheriff Chris Swanson joins us from Deputy, or I'm sorry, Genesee County Sheriff. Chris, thanks for joining the show. And before we get into the Supreme Court thing, do you have any remarks or commentary on this really sad thing from the other day?
Oh yeah, I did reach out to the sheriff, who's a dear friend of mine. Oakland is obviously a partner in a neighboring county, and they've experienced so much trauma, the whole community. And this vicious ambush is exactly why law enforcement is revered by people, because this father, this husband, this investigator, while people were resting, was out trying to just solve a simple stolen car, and gave his life for it. And that's what law enforcement does. And he's a hero, and he's a hero forever because he died doing what he loved.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. That's an incredibly sad thing. Wife left behind, kids left behind, just trying to follow the rules and get someone back their stolen car. Unbelievable. Chris, as we look at this Supreme Court case, which really is dealing with the ability to seize weapons away from people who have been convicted of domestic violence, what is your take on the whole story?
This is a gun responsibility issue, not a gun control issue. And as law enforcement has for years removed the threat and the accessibility to weapons, this is a plus for people whose lives are threatened by violent encounters. I guarantee, Chris, there's people that are listening right now that know exactly what a domestic violence situation looks like. They have felt it. And a majority of these situations involve a threat with a weapon. That's terrifying. It doesn't remove people's rights to own weapons. It just takes away their ability to access them when they are in a state of threat. And that's vital for every one of us.
Yeah, Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson again is joining us. And Chris, you are not advocating in any way, shape, or form that the government seize people's weapons. But what I hear you saying is, in these kind of cases, domestic violence cases are largely ones that were reported where there is a threat with a weapon. And you are 100% in support of this.
And you make it very clear, and that is true. This is not a gun ownership or a gun control issue. This is about responsible gun ownership. And as a gun owner, as somebody who's literally talking to you right now with a pistol on his hip, who I have been in law enforcement and a gun owner, even gun owners understand and respect gun responsibility. And I can tell you, I've experienced it firsthand when you have a domestic situation turn violent. Just in Genesee County in March of this year, we had a suspect, Bennett, 28 years old, shot and killed his domestic partner with a shotgun. The lady in the next apartment came around to see what's happening, killed her. She was 51 years old, confronted law enforcement in the street with a shotgun, leveled it, and just pulled the trigger and tried to kill a CLOW officer. He returned fire, and three of our deputies and officers shot and killed Bennett. I say that because these are highly volatile situations, school threats. Every time we have a school threat in Genesee County, and it's a protocol throughout the state, we go to the school, we identify who's the individual who made the threat. Do they have the ability to do it? Are there weapons in their car, in their locker, at their house? And by taking those weapons away, look what happened in Oxford. If the weapon was taken away, lives would have been saved. And that's what we're trying to do. And I say this, and I know speaking in sound bites is important, but it's important that I add this. If I'm driving a car and I go to a party and I'm too intoxicated to drive, I want somebody to take my keys, not taking my ability to own a car, but taking my ability to use that and hurt myself or other people. That's what we're talking about. Not to be confused with gun control or gun ownership. Not at all. I am an advocate of gun responsibility and common sense.
That's a great analogy. So, for those who are wondering then, and hopefully you can unpack some of this, there's got to be, I imagine, a gradient of the severity of some of these domestic violence cases, right? Somebody, slapping each other back and forth because they had too many beers and they got in a fight over who didn't do the laundry or something like that is probably different to some degree than fisticuffs and blood and actual real severe violence. Does the court system or this particular law take any of that into account, or are they basically saying that in a scenario where domestic violence has been claimed, even then, despite a conviction, that weapon can be seized until it's adjudicated properly?
I think you bring up a great point because you're right. There's a wide net and these calls, not even just domestic violence, but anytime there's a threat. But specifically to your question with domestic violence, yes, there is a accelerated force continuum. And some of these are just verbal confrontations, but there are domestic violence encounters that are just under deadly. And many times weapons are used as a threat. I say this when it comes about threatening animals. You know, 6 out of 10 domestics involve a threat against just a domestic pet. And when those threats happen, 9 out of 10 of the domestic violence actions take place, physical assaults. So there's an algorithm that goes there. All that the Supreme Court ruled was we're not talking about your ability to own a weapon or not. What we're talking about is Rahimi has not shown responsibility because after he did his domestic in 2019, he assaulted another person. He assaulted the original victim one more time and had 5 more shootings, 2 drive-bys, 2 road rages, and a dispute at a McDonald's. These are the individuals that do not reflect responsible gun owners like myself and many of your listeners.
So, Chris, in your realm then, in Genesee County, have you had any instances recently you can think of where the officers on scene would have the discretion to say what weapons are in this house, registered or not, and the ability to take them? I mean, who makes that decision in the spur of the moment?
Without a doubt, it's law enforcement. And law enforcement has a great responsibility and also has proven that we take all variables into consideration. Just going back again to our school threats, we have had dozens and dozens of school threats over the last several months, and we go to make sure there's not accessibility to those weapons. And part of that, and especially with Michigan voting in our red flag laws, these are extreme risks orders. There's still a process. You know, the courts are still involved. It's just not one person, and it shouldn't be just one person. This is something that involves the system in order to protect the rest of the innocent people.
Yeah, and do the officers receive any blowback for that in terms of what you've seen so far? Do you think laws like this on the books will help them, will alleviate the pressure from them as if to say, listen, I have permission to take this weapon because it's better for everybody involved, and if it turns out after the court system that you're, you know, free of this particular charge or claim, you get the weapon back. I mean, is that how it works?
You know, what you just brought up is a great example of messaging. You know, you being on WGI right now, you message to people, and that's what has to be done at the street level, at the house level. It's all about the messaging, and ultimately it's to keep people safe. And when folks are either under the influence or having in some kind of a psychotic episode, a mental health breakdown, it's our responsibility to keep everybody around that community, that school, that house safe. And so the process that we have is an initial process, just like taking somebody to jail. That doesn't mean they're charged. That means we have enough probable cause to believe a crime was committed, and we have a process in place. We have variables we have to meet. That's the process of law enforcement and justice. And when we show this person had a manic episode, this person has a PBT of, you know, 0.23, this person, you know, busted out the windows and did all these different things. Now the courts have the ability to, that was a good decision. We're going to uphold that emergency protection order. We're going to uphold the personal protection order, and we're going to hold people accountable. But at the same time, let's get this individual the drug and alcohol counseling they need, the mental health treatment that they need. There's a whole process. These broken families, many times a domestic call in law enforcement is the final straw before it breaks. And we got to be there to protect everybody, kids, spouses, domestic partners.
Always the kids first. Chris Watson, Genesee County Sheriff, thanks for joining the program. Let's hear from you on this. Do you agree? You can pick up your phone and tell me if you disagree. 800-859-0957. The Supreme Court says they can take your weapons away if you are part of a domestic violence case. That seems to be a good move from most angles, but if you think not, let's hear from you. Right back.